Join us WrestleMania weekend for the Internet Darlings live event featuring your favorite wrestling YouTubers. The link is in the description. Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw Countout, the only pro wrestling podcast that counts things down right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. I'm sure there are plenty of other podcasts that do the same thing. We do it here at this channel, Larson.
Yes.
We're also available wherever fine podcasts are, including iTunes, or if you hit that subscribe download button, that helps us out quite a bit. Or if you want to show your support, you can go to patreon.com/Steven Larson, where you can kick in financial support. And in exchange, you get stuff like postcards, like this one here. I just finished a comic book I'm going to be sending to $20 patrons. You can watch a weekly or monthly live stream. Or if you just want our thanks, send us a buck every month and we'll say thanks.
Thank you.
If you watch a show, we'll say thanks also.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, we're also at prowrestlingtees.com/Steven Larson. You can get the logo on a t-shirt as Larson's modeling right here. We have four other designs as well. All very good.
Yes, more to come.
More to come. We're going to have 20 by the end of the year.
We're going to rival the Young Bucks in terms of designs by the end of like 900 or something like that. 90, I think, yeah.
That's right, 900 designs for the... Okay, I'm going to get started. One a day for 900 days.
Yes.
Anyways, so yesterday we talked about the best
in our opinion, in our estimation.
Ever. In our estimation.
That's so right. Today we're going to talk about, in our estimation, the worst WrestleManias.
The biggest pile, as No Way Jose would say, you piles of crap!
Yeah.
No fiesta for you.
So again, we'll go to the criteria.
Because we're going to be there in a week. And I hope that particular WrestleMania doesn't land on this list.
No. So we're talking quality of card, historical importance, mm-hmm. and iconic WrestleMania moments. Those are kind
is
of
last
three...
year's on this list? Because last year's a crap.
Of course. Last year was awful.
Nice. Good job. Well done. All right. So we'll kick it off. Yeah. You were saying. I'm sorry. I interrupted you.
No, I'm pretty much done.
Okay. These are bad WrestleManias.
Yes.
The baddest. Number 10.
10.
WrestleMania 10.
Yeah. So WrestleMania 10 is kind of the perfect encapsulation of early to mid-90s WWF wrestling.
And this is why I love WrestleMania 10. Here's the thing.
Well, here, hold on. Let me finish my thought, because the highs are very high. There's two really, really good matches on the card, and the lows are pretty darn low.
I know, but here's the thing. Even the lows are so damn entertaining. I love really bad pro wrestling.
You do.
I'm not talking about boring pro. There's a difference between bad pro wrestling and boring pro wrestling.
I know.
Lex Luger was a bad pro wrestler.
Yes.
Because he was so entertainingly bad. He is amazing in that there was nothing special about him, and yet for some reason he was always pushed.
I know.
It's weird. And there's so much Lex Luger in this. It's hilarious.
There was. First, let's talk about the good matches.
Okay, yeah.
To open the show, Bret and Owen Hart put on a fantastic match.
Stellar match.
Longest match of the card to open the show, 20 plus minutes.
Wow, yeah.
Bret loses to his brother.
Yes.
But Bret's okay because he has a title shot on later in the night. Mm-hmm. Also, the iconic HBK Razor Ramon ladder match happens at this show.
Yeah, 10 fantastic match. For that match alone, 10 could be on the best list. It was
under consideration.
Yeah,
it was almost on both lists.
We almost put it on both lists, but then we have to talk about it twice.
Yes.
So, yeah, those are two amazing matches. Now, there's a lot of weird shit that happened before this, in that Yokozuna, the reigning champion.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. The Royal Rumble. That was the one where Bret...
We can even go back further than that. Let's go back to SummerSlam. Oh, before that, they were on the deck of some...
The USS Intrepid.
Yeah, aircraft carrier.
Yeah.
And they're having a body slam challenge to see who could body slam Yokozuna.
Yeah.
Who comes out? Lex Luger.
Hold on a second.
Body slams
him. Didn't he helicopter in?
Sure.
I think he helicoptered in.
So that set up a match between Yokozuna, Lex Luger at SummerSlam 92.
More importantly, that set up the Lex Express angle.
It did.
Because he did it on the USS Intrepid... And therefore, he was all-American.
Yes.
Yeah. Then he got a bus.
Yes.
That they painted Lex Express.
Yes.
And he traveled town to town.
Wearing America flag Zubaz pants.
And I'm not exactly sure what he did when he traveled. It's some sort of campaign.
Well, WWE.com has a great photo gallery on their website.
Yeah.
That chronicles the Lex Express. And by that, near as I can tell, he visited lots of malls signing autographs.
I feel like also by looking at those photos, because I know what you're talking about, He was on that bus by himself.
It looked that way.
So it seemed like it was, they said, Lex, we're going to send you out on a bus for, let's say, 3 months.
Yes. By it's yourself. It's
gonna
you be, and a driver.
It's going to be you, the driver, and a lot of downtime, and you're going to go sign autographs and talk to people in towns. How does that feel? And I'm sure Lex was like, okay, cool. I'm not really doing anything else. So yeah. Yes.
Yes. Oh, and also, yes. You know, all the other days you have to wrestle.
That's right.
So that led to the match, SummerSlam 92, which Luger won by countout.
And then celebrated in the middle of the ring.
As if he had actually won the title from Yokozuna, which he did not.
Because you cannot win titles by countout.
No. So the next Royal Rumble,
yeah.
The final two participants were Lex Luger and Bret Hart.
Correct.
They were eliminated simultaneously. They eliminated each other.
Yes.
So there was some controversy as to who the winner of the Royal Rumble was.
Right.
So rather than have a match determine the winner or have a triple threat match, they decided to have the two co-winners of the Rumble each get title shots.
Yeah.
So first, Luger got his title shot against Yokozuna.
Yeah.
And
now, here's the thing.
What?
Hold on a second. They had the champion. They said, hey, we couldn't figure out who the number one contender is, so you're just going to fight twice.
The champion
kind of
got punished in this whole deal.
Yeah. Not kind of. You're going to have two opportunities to lose your belt against the two best contenders for it.
Well, one. And Luger.
Yeah. Hey, look, the two guys who ended up last in the Royal Rumble match, theoretically, are supposed to be the two best
guys. Yeah, in theory. I know. Kayfabe-wise, yes.
Kayfabe-wise, yes. So, Yokozuna, we know that stamina is not your thing. So, we're going to book you in two matches at Mania. First against Lex Luger from the Lex Express.
And Mr. Perfect, who wrestled Luger when he was the Narcissist at WrestleMania 9. So, they had history. Was the special guest referee.
Yeah.
And Mr. Perfect ended up costing Lex the match.
Yeah.
Allowing Yokozuna to win by DQ.
Mr. Perfect was perfect at many things. Being a referee was last on the... He was not perfect at all.
He's up there with like Michael Hayes in terms of being good referee.
He was a terrible referee, inserting himself at every single turn.
A la Michael Hayes.
A la Michael Hayes, exactly.
Not good referees.
So Mr. Perfect essentially dictated the outcome of that match. Lex Luger ended up winning.
No, losing.
I'm sorry, losing. Bret Hart. Okay, but here's the thing. So Bret Hart also was given double duty.
Yes.
At WrestleMania 10 because he had a match against Owen, which we already talked about.
Which opened the show, yes.
But why was this a thing where people would have to fight twice at a WrestleMania?
I think the roster was thin back then. Yeah. And so they wanted to sell out Madison Square Garden, so they had to double dip with some of their top stars.
God, no kidding, because look at some of these matches. So then that led to the main event, which was Bret Hart versus Yokozuna. As we said, Yokozuna stamina was not his thing. He was like a million trillion pounds.
Yeah, he was a large man.
He was a giant person, very round individual, and Bret Hart ended up winning. And I forget, we did like a book of the match on this or something. Something on this
because
we had to watch it.
We did a count out. Oh, that too. We did a count out of the worst title matches.
Oh, yeah.
And Luger Yokozuna was on there.
Yeah, and I think wasn't Hart Yokozuna there too? Because maybe. Wasn't it like this was the. What, can,
there was like a botch. There was not like a botch finish, but Yokozuna missed a move and that. That's how Bret got the pin.
Yes, that's right. Didn't he just like fall off the second rope and then Bret Hart went for the pin? This was I think I remember this. This match was not Bret Hart winning. This was simply Bret Hart letting Yokozuna beat himself.
Yeah.
That's what this was. Because
that was the story of the match.
Bret Hart, exactly. Bret Hart was just trying to stay out of Yokozuna's own way. That's what it was. He was just letting Yokozuna beat himself.
Yeah.
Which was amazing because Yokozuna had the title for a year almost.
Yeah.
How did Yokozuna hold on to that title for so long when he was terrible? Anyways, other lowlights. It's funny because Bret ended up winning, beating Yokozuna, all because Hulk Hogan didn't want a job to Bret Hart a year prior. And so that led to a whole year build-up to this.
And we'll get to what actually happened the year before in a little bit.
Other great matches on WrestleMania 10 include Earthquake versus Atom Bomb and Bam Bam Bigelow and Luna Vachon teaming up to take on Doink and Dink. Am I to assume that Dink was a smaller version of Doink? Or was Dink a female Doink?
Was not a female.
Smaller version of Doink. Gotcha. Okay. Number nine.
Nine.
WrestleMania 2000.
I was at this one.
You were at this
one. And I was incredibly hungover. Oh, my gosh.
Did you drink at the event?
No, just the night before.
When you're hungover, are you able to continue to drink? Or do you want nothing to do with alcohol?
Nothing. In fact, that day, I didn't eat anything until it was actually during the Benoit Angle Jericho match. I was like, I realized I'm starving. I haven't eaten anything all day because I felt atrocious.
Right.
So I went and got like a roast beef sandwich, like a French dip. Oh my
God. That sounds like amazing in some situations. And at WrestleMania when you're hungover. Because some people drink through hangovers.
I can't do that.
I cannot do that. I want nothing to do with alcohol after I'm hungover.
For several days, in fact.
Dude, so I was married in 2012.
Yeah.
Haven't been hammered since then.
Oh, you got pretty drunk that night.
I got so hammered that night.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I haven't, I mean, I've drunk. I've had plenty to drink since then, but I
not
have,
hammered.
I have no.
Well, can change that next weekend.
What's next weekend?
Oh, go to Orlando.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. It's
a yeah. I mean, make it a tradition. Go to WrestleMania hungover.
There you go. I can't do shit hungover these days.
I know. I can't either. So this card did have some highlights.
Suffered because there was no Steve Austin. This was the year that Steve Austin had taken off.
There was the ladder match between the Hardys, the Dudleys, and Edge and Christian, which was fantastic. The precursor to the TLC matches.
Mm-hmm.
This kind of started that trend.
Yeah.
The following SummerSlam, they had the first proper tag team TLC match.
Mm-hmm.
And granted, tables and chairs played a role in this match, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't set up as a TLC match.
Right,
just a ladder match. Right. Also, the Kurt Angle, Chris Benoit, Chris Jericho match was pretty good. I watched it maybe a year ago.
Yeah.
Because I don't remember anything about it being
all
there.
Top of the line talents. All
yes.
Top-notch talents. Sure, yeah.
Apart from that, though, the rest of the car was pretty lame.
Mm-hmm.
There was a hardcore battle royal. It was an absolute mess. At least half the match took place in the bowels of the arena.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We, as paid attendants, didn't get to see hardly any of it.
You got to see it on like a non-HD
yes.
Titantron. Yeah.
Yes. And even if the match had taken place entirely in the ring, it still wasn't very good.
Probably bad, yeah.
The main event was underwhelming because, as you said, no Stone Cold.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, it was Big Show versus Foley, who they brought out of retirement for the match.
Mm-hmm.
His first retirement, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. Triple H, who was champion, and The Rock.
Mm-hmm.
And the finish of this match is an elimination match.
This is when there was a McMahon in every corner.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Vince turned on The Rock,
mm-hmm.
Hit him in the head with a chair, allowing Triple H to retain the title.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of underwhelming.
Yeah, that's not good.
I
mean, four corners matches to main event your WrestleMania.
I know.
No. I mean, this could have been, dude, this could have been Rock versus Triple H. Why wasn't this Rock Triple H?
I know.
That could have been an iconic matchup.
I know. Yeah. I know. Terry Runnels versus the Cat.
Mm-hmm.
About as good as you'd expect.
Yeah.
The Radicals, Perry Saturn, Eddie Guerrero, Dean Malenko
mm-hmm.
versus Too Cool and China. In theory, could have been pretty good.
Yeah. No good.
No.
Not good. Yeah.
Underwhelming show. My first WrestleMania ever.
Yeah.
Even being hungover, I realized it was not that good of a show.
WrestleMania 2000 took place in between 15 and
17. This is WrestleMania 16.
This is WrestleMania 16. Okay. So it came between two pretty decent WrestleManias. I think 15 was okay.
15 was okay. That's one where Triple H turned heel and Stone Cold beat The Rock for
yeah.
the title.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So that was a decent one. But this kind of crap fest. 17, one of the best ones.
Yes. This one, no good.
No good.
No good.
Number eight.
Eight.
WrestleMania 5.
So WWE more or less spent, one could argue, 2 years building up to a story that would lead to Hogan versus Macho Man for the title of WrestleMania 5. And by and large, the story was very well told.
Mm-hmm.
We had
the
Mega Powers, their tag team they formed. We had The Split, which started on an episode of Saturday Night Main Event. They incorporated No Holds Barred, Hogan's movie, into the storyline because mm-hmm. Zeus aligned himself with Macho Man.
Yeah.
So Macho Man and Zeus had a match against Hogan and Beefcake
mm-hmm.
at SummerSlam this
SummerSlam,
same year.
Yeah.
So the build was there for a quality match.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you know, in the 80s, one of the better stories that WWF told.
And we know that Randy Savage can put on a stellar match because at 3, he put on one with Ricky Steamboat.
And then 3 years after this, he put on a really good match against Ric Flair at WrestleMania mm-hmm, for the title.
Right.
But the match itself, underwhelming.
Yeah, well, you got Hulk Hogan in there.
I know, but the next year at 6, he put on a good match against Ultimate Warrior.
Isn't that weird, though?
Is an awful wrestler.
Isn't that weird?
I know.
You have two wrestlers who really aren't that great, and they put on actually a really good match.
Whereas you have Savage, who's a phenomenal wrestler.
I wonder if any of it was pressure with Hulk Hogan. I wonder if, like, him sort of handing the torch off to the Ultimate Warrior, I wonder if there was like the pressure was off, so he was like, hey, I can actually carry a good match. I wonder. I don't know. I have no idea.
It'd be interesting to find out, though.
It's weird, though.
I know. So WrestleMania 5 had 14 matches in total.
Good Lord.
And apart from Rick Rude defeating the Ultimate Warrior for the Intercontinental title, serving as kind of the springboard, you know, it's a time-honored tradition. You carry, back then at least, the Intercontinental title, and then when you're ready to move on to a main event program for the world title, you drop the Intercontinental title.
And, but then you get it back because he carried it into six.
That's true. of the 14 matches, three of them had dusty finishes.
Listen, baby. Ooh, it's WrestleMania season. Everybody's going to dust the finish. Listen up. Nobody's going to win anything.
Brutus Beefcake.
Dusty Mania, baby.
Brutus Beefcake versus Ted DiBiase ended a double countout. Just what you want to see at a WrestleMania. Jake Roberts defeated Andre the Giant by DQ. And then Jim Duggan versus Bad News Brown ended in a double disqualification.
Did they both hit each other with a baseball bat at the same time?
I don't remember.
Red Rooster defeated Bobby Heenan.
In like 18 seconds.
Man, Terry Taylor seconds. Could have been huge.
I know, if he wasn't saddled with an awful gimmick.
Why would they have done that? Don't people like to make money? Don't people like successes? Number seven.
Seven.
WrestleMania 4.
Four.
Yeah, so this was the big tournament. The title was vacated.
Yes. Because Andre the Giant beat Hulk Hogan in an episode of Saturday Night Main Event, gave the belt to Ted DiBiase. Well, he won it by nefarious means.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it was Jack Tunney declared the title vacant, and a new champion would be crowned in a tournament at WrestleMania 4.
Which sounds like a fantastic idea.
I mean, let's look at another pay-per-view they had a whole tournament within. Survivor Series 98. Mm-hmm. Probably the best pay-per-view ever.
For sure, yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
Ever.
Do you have an argument against it?
No.
Of course you don't.
King of the Ring 93. Continue.
Yes. So the ingredients were there for something really cool.
Oh, yeah.
And he had the top stars of WWF at that time.
Yeah.
But instantly, like Hulk Hogan had a first-round bye. Just because he was Hulk Hogan,
pretty much. So did Andre.
Oh, yeah, Andre did, too, because of the Saturday Night Event thing. So, I mean, they're the top stars of the time. Okay. So, in the first round, six matches, one ended in a draw, one ended in a countout. Sorry, one ended in a time limit draw between Jake Roberts and Rick Rude.
Ooh, but the thing is, like, if anybody's going to go 15 minutes, I'd want it to be Jake Roberts and Rick Rude.
Bam Bam Bigelow and One Man Gang. One Man Gang won by countout.
Yeah, I like that. So Jake Roberts and Rick Rude go to a draw, so nobody wins there.
Yeah.
One Man Gang gets to move on because...
Advances via countout.
Via countout.
Randy Savage pins Butch Reed, advances. Greg Valentine pins Ricky Steamboat, advances.
See, right here, okay, this is what, WrestleMania 4?
Yeah.
Why didn't they have Savage versus Steamboat in the quarters?
It would have made a lot of sense, huh?
Yeah.
Good storytelling, but they didn't do that back then. Don Morocco beat Dino Bravo by DQ, and then Ted DiBiase pinned Jim Duggan to advance. So, in your second round, the quarterfinals, you have Hogan versus Andre.
Went to a
double disqualification.
Double disqualification.
I understand. They want to write both of them out of the main event, the final. Yeah. I understand that. Because I guess neither of them could eat a pin.
Yeah, but how cool would it have been for Hogan to take on DiBiase in the semis and then lose? You know, he could lose not cleanly.
Someone could cheat. Yeah,
somebody could cheat.
No, I know. It's
DiBiase, he's a mastermind.
So DiBiase beats Don Morocco cleanly,
mm-hmm.
And then Savage beats Valentine cleanly, and One Man Gang gets a bye due to the
Jake Roberts
the double recruit. Or to the draw. So in the semifinals, Savage beats One Man Gang, and then DiBiase gets a bye. He gets to go straight to the finals.
Ha ha ha! Yeah.
And so the finals,
DiBiase versus Savage,
which is actually a decent match. Hogan gets involved. Yeah. Andre gets involved.
Yeah.
There's a good pop when Savage wins the belt. It's a cool moment.
Yeah.
But there's just the ingredients are there for some interesting storytelling. Like you just mentioned, Savage Steamboat in the second round is a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm,
why didn't they do that? But they didn't.
Yeah.
I think just because they didn't want to do face-to-face matchups.
Yeah.
Because Savage by this point was a face, as was Steamboat.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that's why.
Yeah.
But still, there's an opportunity there to tell a story, and they just didn't do it.
Yeah.
And there's some other matches on the card. There's a Battle Royal. There's a couple tag team matches. But all in all, it's just 16 matches on the entire card.
Mm-hmm.
16 in 3 hours. Or 4 hours, sorry. It's just a lot of wrestling and a lot of missed opportunities. And some matches are good, but nothing really transcends to greatness.
And it's kind of interesting. It'd be interesting to know. I love the sort of the what ifs because according to Ted DiBiase, anyways, they gave him the option to win in the end. They said you can either win in the end or is this when he created the $1 million championship? Or
no, I think he debuted with that, didn't he?
Oh, maybe he did. I don't know. But they said, or do you want Savage to win and then you can go on to XYZ to team up with Andre to become the Mega Bucks? And he said he would much rather, you know, chase it as a heel than win it at WrestleMania. Who knows if it's true? I don't think he doesn't. I don't think he has really much reason to lie. His legacy is pretty well set.
And
people like him quite a bit.
Yeah.
So yeah. What a crap fest.
Yeah. Not very good.
It's more based on, like you said, the premise of this entry is missed opportunity.
Yeah, because it could have been a fantastic show.
There could have been a lot of mini stories being told, and instead, nothing. Number six.
Six.
WrestleMania 32. This is last year, baby.
Yeah, not a good show.
No.
Main event, crap. Reigns versus Triple H.
Well, we've talked about this before. It's just interesting that, like, the literally the pay-per-view prior to this was...
Wasn't
like,
even a pay-per-view. It was a network special.
Network special. Was it Roadblock?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Triple H and Dean Ambrose...
Put on a great match.
Put on a great match. And here we have... And I really wonder, and you've wondered this with me, was Triple H trying to make Reigns earn this, earn that title? Because it was not a good match. And I firmly believe that Roman Reigns is not at the point in his career where he can carry a great match. He can be brought to a great match. He can participate in a great match. But he's not going to be the one putting a match on his shoulders and everybody saying, wow, that was fantastic.
Yeah.
Triple H can.
Yes.
He can carry a great match.
Yes.
And he didn't do that here with Roman Reigns. And I wonder if he was trying to make Reigns earn it. I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me just knowing what Triple H, you know, having observed him for 20 years.
Yeah.
Who did Lesnar? Oh, Lesnar fought Dean Ambrose.
Yeah, horrible match.
Dean Ambrose went on Stone Cold's podcast and ran down Brock Lesnar's lack of giving a shit.
Yeah,
in this
zero
match.
Enthusiasm for this match.
Dean Ambrose trying to bring him to something and Lesnar not wanting to participate.
We had a Hell in the Cell match between The Undertaker and Shane McMahon, which existed for the sole purpose of Shane taking doing an elbow off the top of the Hell in the Cell.
It was just a trip in nostalgia that nobody really... Look, maybe people out there wanted to see this. I'm not going to say, oh, you know, you guys don't want to see this. I just, you know, Shane McMahon did a lot of great, crazy stuff when he was younger.
Mm-hmm.
But it was all like, in the moment, you're like, oh, my God, this is great. What is he going to do now? He's crazy. He's the rich kid's son.
Yeah.
And now it's like, well, he's old. And he's going to jump off the top of that. I don't want to see anybody die.
No, and literally, as soon as they announced it was a Hell in a Cell match, I think we both said, this is all just so we can do a spot off
Shane
the top of the
Shane is
going to
come off
the
top of the cage. Exactly, yeah.
So it wasn't so much the suspense of, oh my gosh, is he going to do it? It's, all right, when's he going to do it?
Yeah. And we also had The Rock, who the year previous, he did the thing with Ronda Rousey, which was very cool. And then the year prior to that, he did the cool in-ring thing with Stone Cold and Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
And that was really cool.
Yeah.
That was really neat. And then this year he came out, he lit his name on fire.
With a flamethrower.
The flamethrower.
Gave a long promo just to announce the attendance.
Yeah.
And then the Wyatts came out and then he beat Eric Rowan in 6 seconds.
Yeah. It was not good at all.
No. But there were some highlights. AJ Styles
had his
in
first
his WrestleMania
debut
had a decent match with Y2J, mm-hmm. Chris Jericho, even though he lost.
Mm-hmm.
They debuted the Women's Championship during the pre-show of WrestleMania. And then the three-way match between Charlotte, Sasha Banks, and Becky Lynch was very good.
Mm-hmm.
And then Zack Ryder winning the Intercontinental title was a nice moment.
Yeah, it was a nice moment.
Yeah.
It was a nice moment.
Even though he lost it the next night to The Miz.
Exactly, yeah. Number five.
Five.
WrestleMania 2.
Two.
Two.
Two. So this, following the huge success of WrestleMania 1, Vince kicked it up a notch and said, why have the show in one building when I could have it in three?
Damn, you stole that from me. Good job.
So there was a show started in New York.
Yeah.
I think in the Uniondale Arena on Long Island, New York.
Okay, all right.
I think. And then second third of the show happened in Chicago,
mm-hmm.
I believe at what is now known as the Allstate Arena, which
was
Rosemont Horizon back then.
Okay.
And then the show culminated at the LA Sports Arena.
Sports Arena, right.
12 matches in total, 4 per city.
Yeah.
And it was just kind of a mess.
Yeah.
Why
would you want to go? I find it funny that anybody would want to go to a building where like 2/3 of the show isn't going to be held at.
I know you have to watch it on the scoreboard.
On your non-HD scoreboard.
I know.
Which, remember before the Kings got bought a couple of years back. And had the little tiny screen.
Yeah, and they said it was outdated even for a Division II college program.
It was probably like more advanced than what they had here.
Yeah.
I would imagine so. that's not a good way to watch it.
Weren't we watching some NWA, WCW pay-per-view that took place in two arenas, like in Atlanta and Greensboro or something like that? That
sounds familiar, yeah.
Was that Wild Thing?
Was that Wild Thing? I don't think that was Wild Thing. That was a different one.
But it was one of those older shows.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So I guess the precedent had been set.
Yeah.
But anyways.
Should have learned from that.
I know. Probably the low point of this card was the Mr. T, Rowdy Roddy Piper boxing match.
Well, they didn't like each other.
Yeah.
If you're going to have a fake boxing match, you should get two guys who want to work with each other.
I know.
And instead they didn't. And so wouldn't Piper start taking liberties with Mr. T or something like that? I forget. Or like, no, this ended in a DQ because Piper
threw a stool.
Yeah. Then he body slammed Mr. T or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's terrible. Hogan and King Kong Bundy
were in the main event in a cage match.
Yeah.
Not an exciting match, although Hogan did show up in rib tape.
Oh, that's cool.
Nice touch.
That's how you want your WrestleMania entrance to be.
Yeah.
Hobbled.
Taped ribs.
Hobbled with tape ribs.
And there was a WWF versus NFL Battle Royal won by Andre the Giant.
Yeah.
Which was fun. I remember this. I'll tell a story.
Okay.
So now as a kid, lived in a small town, and there was one video store in town.
Awesome. I love the story.
And they used to have, they used to get new releases, I would assume, fairly quickly after a release on VHS.
Sure.
So one of my first major exposures to wrestling, along with watching on the USA Network, was renting WrestleMania 1 from this establishment.
Okay, sure.
I used to watch it all the time, over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And so they got WrestleMania 2, and I was like, oh, I want to rent this.
Awesome.
I know.
Yeah.
And so I remember watching it and thinking, why? This isn't as good as the first one.
How old are you? Like
7 or 8.
7 or 8. Even at that age, you knew it was crap.
Yeah, and then I remember the Battle Royal because a lot of the Chicago Bears were in the match.
Oh yeah, like, yeah.
Jim
yeah.
Covert and yeah. William Perry.
This would be top on Hilton's list.
Yeah,
yeah.
And so that was exciting and a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So I remember that match. It's fun. And Andre won.
They would never do that now unless they signed a hold harmless. Mm-hmm. It was probably against their contract.
Highlights of the show were the British Bulldogs winning the tag team titles.
Nice.
Their only title reign in WWF, I believe.
Is this before or after the Dynamite Kid put his shotgun to his wife?
Before.
Okay.
And then Terry Funk and Hoss Funk.
Hoss, why? You made that up. That's a fun wrestling character.
Look on the card.
Was that Dory?
Yeah,
was that Dory Funk Jr.? Yeah.
Took on Tito Santana and the Junkyard Dog.
Well, there you go. Any match that Terry Funk is involved in, I'm happy with. Junkyard Dog. Tommy Dreamer wanted to shoot somebody in a match.
He wanted to get shot. Yeah.
Yeah. Wanted to get shot in the butt. Colt Cabana. Number
four.
WrestleMania 13.
There's literally only one reason to watch this pay-per-view, and that's Austin Bret Hart.
Yeah, it was the iconic blood, like when he had the bloody mask and he passed out, and a superstar was born. But that was it.
Yeah,
that
it's not a good WrestleMania.
The main event was The Undertaker and Psycho Sid in a 21-minute bore fest for the WWF title. This is after HBK lost his smile and vacated
the title. Yeah.
I don't feel good anymore. I think I'm sad.
I'm trying to remember the
exact... No, I'm crying.
The exact sequence of events. I think the original plan was for the main event to be HBK Brett again with Brett winning.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. That was the original plan. And then for whatever reason...
HBK didn't want a job to Brett.
That could be part of it.
Yeah. I don't want a job.
HBK vacated the title. There was some controversy at the Royal Rumble.
It was so fucking convoluted. The pay-per-view after the Royal Rumble,
they had like a four-way match between the final four people in the Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
So Vader was in it. Undertaker was in it. Brett was in it.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say Stone Cold. And the winner of that match... think was shit. It's so convoluted. I don't remember.
It's a mess. Like the title, like Brett won the title, then lost it the next night on Raw
to Sid, right?
Yeah, I think to Sid. Yeah,
and somehow the Undertaker got the match against Sid. That sounds right. I want to say Brett won the title at that In Your House pay per view.
Yeah, something like that. What is this? 12?
Yeah,
this is 12. Yeah, it was just like it was just an absolute clusterfuck.
Yes.
It didn't make any sense.
No. But anyways, there's really not much else to see on here apart from
this is 13.
The Brett Yeah, 13, sorry.
Yeah.
The Brett Austin match, which is fantastic.
Yeah. Let's see here. At In Your House 13, Bret Hart last eliminated The Undertaker in a Four Corners elimination match to win the vacant WWF World Heavyweight Championship. Hart's reign lasted one day as he lost the title the next night on Raw to Sid after interference by Stone Cold. Due to being the runner-up to the title at the Final Four, Undertaker was made the number one contender and was booked to challenge Psycho Sid for the title at Mania.
How come Bret didn't get a rematch?
However, on the March 17th edition of Raw, Sid defended the title against Hart in a steel cage with the winner defending his title at Mania. During the match, both Taker and Austin interfered. It was a steel cage match. Undertaker came out to help Sid because he wanted to wrestle Sid for the title, while Austin helped Hart because he wanted to make his scheduled submission match with Hart a title match. Sid won the match and retained his title, and as a result, Sid versus Undertaker remained the main event of WrestleMania.
That gave me a headache.
I know. That's from Wikipedia, by the way. So whoever wrote that, that's your credit. That's terrible. That's like trying to pop ratings on a week-to-week basis. That sounds like Vince Russo right there.
It does.
I have no idea.
It does. At the time. I mean, I think he was with the company at the time, so it could be.
We'll blame him. So this was 1 year before WrestleMania 14. Sid was gone, and also Rocky Maivia was still a thing. He defeated the Sultan, who
retained the Intercontinental title.
Yeah, but he didn't last long as Rocky Maivia. That was when people were hating him.
Owen Hart and the British Bulldogs retained the tag team titles against Mankind and Vader, thanks to double countout.
This honestly just feels like an episode, like a 3-hour episode of Raw.
Yeah.
Because at the time they were doing title changes on Raw.
Yeah.
So like this really didn't seem like much different than that. And who wants to see Taker versus Sid?
Not a good match.
Event. Not a good match.
Not
and
a good
then
match.
Sid went to WCW and then he came back and then he went back.
Yeah.
Wait,
back and forth.
Back?
No, this was his last stint.
This is the last stint in WWF. Here.
Yeah.
Number three. WrestleMania 27. Wow.
Oh, wow.
Ooh.
Not a good show.
So The Miz came into this as champion, and it was kind of an underrated champion. Like, you always got the feeling that he was a transitional champion, because I was watching back then.
Mm-hmm.
You always had the feeling that he was transitional champion, but I felt like he was really giving it his all. I feel like he was really trying hard. So he had that going for him. He had Alex Riley, who was crap at the time, but I kind of remember thinking, man, I kind of wish Alex Riley would go on his own because he's got all the tools.
He was good in NXT.
And he was good in NXT, yeah. And then he got released or whatever.
Yeah.
I wonder what he's doing these days. You don't really hear about Alex Riley on the indie circuit.
Mm-mm.
Interesting. Maybe he opened a gym. But anyway, so you had Miz versus John Cena leading into this. The Rock was set up to be the host. Right. So the main event essentially existed simply to set up The Rock versus Cena
the following year at Mania.
And so Miz ended up retaining against John Cena, but only due to interference from The Rock. The Miz ended up losing the title a month later to John Cena.
Yeah.
So that was terrible. Even more egregious.
Yes, was a match between Michael Cole and Jerry Lawler.
And in terms of actual matches, I know you said like this is a gimmick match. This is maybe the worst match in the history of WrestleMania.
When we get to WrestleMania 9, I know it's a long match, but when we get to WrestleMania 9, there's a very strong contender for that title as well.
Yeah, that's true. But this is definitely...
It's a super long match for no reason.
Definitely up there. Michael Cole, this was 13 minutes and 45 seconds, but I'm pretty sure it's bell to bell.
Yeah.
That's not including the shenanigans before and after, because it was just... God, this
was awful.
A fucking mess. This was horrible. Dude, that was... Okay, so even so, The Miz versus John Cena was 20 minutes. Undertaker, Triple H, good match.
Yeah, that was a very good
really
match.
Good match. That
very
was a
physical
half
match.
Hour.
Yeah, that was a really good
so
match.
So that deserves to be a half hour. Otherwise, Cole versus Lawler, that was the longest match on the card. If you take out the main event, if you take it out Taker, Triple H, that was the longest match on the card.
Ridiculous.
Second line. Randy Orton versus CM Punk got a minute more.
That was a decent match.
Yeah, it was a good match. It was a good match, I think.
Yeah, it was decent. I remember watching it recently.
Oh, I remember Edge versus Alberto Del Rio opened the show.
Yeah.
And they like keyed Alberto Del Rio's car. They they desecrated the car. Like Edge won. This
ended up being Edge's last match. We didn't know at the time though.
This was the thing. This kind of, and I know like there was plenty of opportunities to turn it around, but I feel like Alberto Del Rio was supposed to win this match. Like I think that's been confirmed. Edge, they knew he was going to retire. Like, this was going to be his last thing because the next night he retired on Raw.
Yeah.
And so they let him retain, because he was champion. They let him retain, which he had never done at WrestleMania. That kind of torpedoed Alberto Del Rio. Mm-hmm. Because I think after that, he had like a program with Christian, who was like trying to defend Edge's honor or some shit like that. I don't know. It was a bunch of crap. I didn't know he came out with the Brodus Clay. Alberto Del Rio with Ricardo Rodriguez and Brodus Clay. I like this in the pre-show, Sheamus versus Daniel Bryan for the United States. What was Sheamus and Daniel Bryan? Them only always pissing on them in WrestleMania.
I know. Always giving them matches at WrestleMania.
And then also,
Snooki had a match.
Snooki was in a match.
Yeah.
From the Jersey Shore.
Yeah.
Because that is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
With Johnny Mundo, Trish Stratus, and they were fighting Dolph Ziggler and Lay Cool.
Yeah.
Who I could never have cared less about.
Yeah. Not a good match.
Terrible WrestleMania.
Not a good WrestleMania.
Number two. WrestleMania 7.
So this is a story I heard that this show was originally supposed to take place at the Los Angeles Coliseum, the huge football stadium where USC plays.
Okay.
And that ticket sales were so bad, they moved it next door to the LA Sports Arena.
Well, I mean, here's the thing, man. War is not good. War is a horrible, horrible thing.
It's awful.
For anybody to have to go through.
Yes.
Sergeant Slaughter, they were using the Iraqi war, the war in Iraq, to advance a storyline where Sergeant Slaughter became an Iraqi sympathizer.
Keep this in mind. Sergeant Slaughter literally used to be a G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
He was in the cartoon. He had his own action figure. I had it. He used to be a G.I. Joe.
Yeah, yeah.
So for him to turn, as you said, into an Iraqi sympathizer was pretty significant.
Yeah, it was. And using the fact that we were literally at war was horribly offensive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, I'm not offended easily. I'm really not. I know there's a line between being PC and et cetera, et cetera. But that's not good.
Yeah.
That's not good. It's unnecessary. At all. It's so unnecessary. In any event, this is the year after Warrior won it off Hulk Hogan and then had, like, you know, that was supposed to be a real passing of the torch. And they, I think it was probably a combination of Warrior and the WWE, how they sort of used him, WWF at the time used him. But Warrior did not have an impressive title run at all. Like, immediately, he started getting weird with them. They got weird with him.
Money was an issue.
It was just a mess. So, like, at that point, I think he dropped it to Slaughter at SummerSlam.
I think it was a Rumble.
Oh, was it as late as the Rumble?
It was a Rumble, yeah.
Whoa. Was SummerSlam? Oh, maybe SummerSlam was Hogan and Warrior teaming up.
Yeah.
Was that what that was?
I think so.
Okay. All right. And then that led to Hogan taking on Slaughter at WrestleMania. Of course, Hogan won.
Yeah.
Also featured Warrior retiring. There was a retirement match with Ultimate Warrior versus Randy Savage. Savage was still only 39. He lost this match and ended up at color commentary.
If only we could have got the Macho Man HBK program.
I know.
It lasted for a year.
I wonder when he proposed that and when it was supposed to culminate.
I don't know.
Because I don't know. We'd have to look that up.
Yeah.
Jake Roberts. Oh, this is a classic match. Who could remember? Who could forget Jake Roberts versus Rick Martel in a blindfold match? Two men, blindfolds, lumbering about.
Trying to wrestle each other.
Trying to wrestle each other.
When they cannot see.
Wow. What was this again? 7? I want to see how long that match was. If it's over 5 minutes, that should have been a refund. That should have been an automatic refund.
You'll see people stumbling around for 6 minutes.
Exactly. Jake Roberts. It was 8 minutes and 34 seconds.
Who won?
Jake the Snake.
So stumbling around for 8 minutes till he can hit a DDT.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. How long was, hold on, Undertaker versus Jimmy Snuka was half that length. Ultimate Warrior. Oh, wow. Ultimate Warrior versus Savage is 20 minutes. Oh, no, that was a decent match. That might have been a decent match. Maybe that was a silver lining.
How many matches were on the card? 14?
15. Well, there was one dark match, so 14, yeah.
That's a lot.
Earthquake versus Greg Valentine. That was a 3-minute match. The Legion of Doom versus Power and Glory, which was Hercules and Paul Roma. That was a minute. That was a minute-long match. Good for Legion of Doom. Virgil defeated Ted DiBiase by countout after 7 minutes and 41 seconds. And the Mountie defeated Tito Santana after a minute 20.
Wow.
So at least they kept the pace up a little bit.
Yeah. Early 90s wrestling.
Yeah.
Not exactly the peak period for the sport.
No. Speaking of which, number one.
One.
WrestleMania 9.
What a fucking awful show.
So this kicked off the year-long title reign of Yokozuna because Hulk Hogan didn't want to. Number one, Hulk Hogan was on his way out. He did not want a job.
Wait, hold on. This didn't kick off Yokozuna's year-long title reign because Hogan left the show with the belt.
No, I'm sorry. This kicked off the sequence of events which led to it. And it wasn't technically a year long because what happened was Vince wanted the belt on Bret Hart. Hogan said, I don't want to do that. Who came into this as champion? Yokozuna came in as champion.
Correct.
So Yokozuna, I'm assuming Yokozuna, how did this play out before this? Now I'm confused. How did Yokozuna get the belt in the first place?
I think he beat Hogan for it.
Did he beat Hogan for it?
Because
then he beat him at King of the Ring also.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on a second.
Double check that, though.
Okay.
Talk
about some of the other...
Yeah, yeah. So we had such fantastic matches as Lex Luger against Mr. Perfect. This is back when Lex Luger was still doing the narcissist.
And Lex Luger
gimmick.
Won.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not so much that it's Lex Luger versus Perfect. It's Lex Luger won.
Yes. We had, in my estimation, the worst WrestleMania match ever. Giant Gonzalez versus The Undertaker.
So this is a real match. This is like Undertaker. This is actual competitors, not Michael Cole versus Jerry Lawler. And so, I mean, even considering Lawler versus Cole, at least that had the benefit of having Stone Cold in it.
Yes.
This was Undertaker versus Giant Gonzalez, a man who was dressed to look like he was naked except for some very hairy bush.
Yes.
It'd been great if they gave him like a micro. Like if they had like a little dick.
There was a decent match between the Steiner brothers and the Head Shrinkers, though.
Well, yeah, it's Steiners.
That was like the lone decent match, I think. Halfway through the card, we had Money Inc., Ted DiBiase, and Irwin R. Scheister, IRS, Mike Rotunda, beat the Mega Maniacs, Hulk Hogan and Brutus Beefcake, by disqualification. And what I found interesting during this match is that at the finish of the match, like Hogan was threatening to punch the ref. That's not a face move.
No, it's not.
That's a heel move.
Again, it's a time-honored tradition of doing heel things, but it's okay because, no, well, he's a face.
I know.
He's a face.
I know.
He can do that.
And so the main event was Yokozuna. Brett came into this match as champ.
Okay, yeah, Brett did. Okay, yeah. Okay.
Sorry. Yokozuna challenged Bret Hart for the WWF title.
Okay.
And Mr. Fuji, I think, did the powder in Brett's face, cost him the title.
Okay.
Hogan comes out and is like, hey, that's some horse shit. He won by cheating. I'm going to stand up for Brett's honor and challenge Yokozuna to a match right now.
Yes.
So literally a boot and a leg drop later, Hulk Hogan walks out of WrestleMania 9 as champion.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, why? That's what? That's terrible.
Yeah.
Awful.
Yeah.
Awful.
Okay, so wait a second. Here we go. Hart won the WWF World Championship from Ric Flair at a Superstars taping in Saskatoon. That's right.
That's right.
In a match not originally broadcast on WWF TV. The match instead was made available on a series of Coliseum home video releases.
Yeah, yeah.
That's fucking weird.
It is weird.
Oh, okay.
That's right.
That's... A little oddball. What was the Hogan not wanting a job to the Bret Hart thing? Because he was too small. I thought there were that.
Yeah, no, that was part of the story, too, at least as related by Bret, right?
Yeah, I thought so.
So maybe that's the... I don't know. I don't remember the story.
Yeah, I have no idea. That's bizarre.
You started telling the story, right? But then...
Well, I thought that was a thing. I thought it was Hogan didn't want to... Maybe Hogan didn't want to do a passing of the torch thing.
Could be.
And he was okay doing a passing of the torch thing to Yokozuna. Because at King of the Ring, after this... Hogan in one of the least attended pay per view.
Yeah, it was like it was 5,000 or something like that.
Between 5,000 and 6,000.
Yeah,
one of the least attended pay per views ever. Hogan jobbed to Yokozuna thanks to Mr. Fuji again throwing shit in Hogan's eyes. I think it was like maybe it was one where the photographer flashed fire.
Oh yeah.
The bulb blew up in Hogan's face. What was it with Hogan and fire in his face? Why is it that was the one thing he was cool jobbing to was people throwing fire at his face?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because didn't the Warrior try to, or Hogan?
No, he did that to the Warrior.
He tried to do that to the Warrior, that's right.
And then burned his...
just blew up in his face.
Yeah, I think burned his eyebrows off or something, right?
Ha! Oh, Hogan. Oh, again.
Oh, goodness. So those were the worst WrestleManias.
Yeah. What a mess. What an absolute mess. Poor Bret Hart. I don't want a job to Bret Hart. He's too small for me, brother. Oh, you know. Anyways, yeah. Let us know what your worst WrestleManias are. We're going to be there next weekend.
Yeah.
Hopefully we're on the other list, not on this list.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, until then, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.